This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise for Allah, we praise Him, we thank Him, we ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is His final messenger. I'm about. First of all, Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh. Look, it's an absolute pleasure to be here, dear sisters. See all your beautiful faces. Alhamdulillah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la, just as He gathered us here today, subhanAllah. InshaAllah, it's just so important for us to come together and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main thing that helps us to keep firm on the straight path in these times where so many of us are, you know, finding it difficult to keep ourselves steadfast on the straight path, subhanAllah. So, dear sisters, the topic that I want to speak to you about today is about achieving your life goals, inshallah. And what it takes to achieve your goals in life. Many of us, or most of us, you know, you have goals, you have things that you think that you'd really like to do in this life. Dreams that you want to aspire to. But subhanAllah, what you find with the majority of people, sadly, is that, you know, why they give up on their life goals in general is because they don't realize what it takes. You know, how much does it take from you if you truly want to achieve your goals in life? So subhanAllah, sisters, you know, so many people do not realize just how much it takes if you want to achieve your goal in life. Okay, so for me, subhanAllah, one of my life goals from the very beginning of when I first embraced Islam is I made that decision that I wanted to memorize Al-Quran. It took me altogether 20 years to complete this mission. And I'm gonna, as I go through my story today, inshallah, you'll see why. So subhanAllah, I want to share with you today, inshallah, some of the main things that helped me to achieve my goal. So this is not just for those of you who want to memorize the Quran. This is for you if you want to, you know, help your children memorize the Quran, or even if you've got any particular life goal that, or aspiration that you're hoping to achieve in life. I'm hoping that bi-idhnillah, these points I mentioned to you will also help you in whatever, you know, quest that you're, you know, hoping to set out on in your life, inshallah. So subhanAllah, first of all, the first thing in order to achieve any life goal is you need to set a clear vision for yourself. You need to set a clear goal for yourself of what you actually want to do. And the other thing you need to know as well from the very beginning is, why do you want to achieve this goal? That's what you have to ask yourself from the very beginning. Now, I want you all just to take a moment to imagine that you're lying there on your deathbed right now, and you're looking back on your life. There's going to come that moment where every one of us is going to be lying there in our deathbed. We're going to look back in our life. What is something that you're going to be thinking at that moment that you wish you had achieved in this world before you died? You have to ask yourself that question. That's how you know what you want to do. That's how you work out what you want to do. Okay? You have to ask yourself, what is the thing I'm going to regret if I die and I don't get it done? So subhanAllah, basically for me, what I wanted to do was, I decided that when I die, I want to die and meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Quran in my heart. That was basically what I had made that decision from the very beginning, when I first embraced Islam. And because I've got that burning desire, you know, from the very beginning, this is what motivates you. You've got to hold on to that, you know, you've got to hold on to that goal all the way through. That's what motivates you. I'm going to come back to that in a moment, you know, in a little while, how to motivate yourself, how to keep yourself motivated, how to keep going. We come to the second point now of, you know, from the points that help you to achieve your goal, inshallah. You have to be realistic about how long it's going to take you to achieve this goal. And the bigger the goal is, then you have to understand it's going to take even longer from you. Okay, so you can't be unrealistic about how long it's going to take. Now, what is the main reason that most people give up on their goals? Because they just don't realize how much effort it's going to take from them. And they don't realize it does take a long time. You know, and what happens as well is often, you get frustrated in your journey because, like, for example, you're going to hear about some, like, for example, in my case, being of an Australian background, not having any Arabic to start out with, okay? So I hear about some Arabic sister, you know, she finished the Quran in 3 months or she finished the Quran in 9 months. Obviously, that makes you feel like I'm never going to get there because it's so much, they make it look so easy to you, you know? You look at them and you think, what hope is there for me? That's what you basically say to yourself. And that's what most people do when they compare themselves to others. And when they compare themselves to others, they end up feeling hopeless and they just end up giving up. So you've got to keep on saying to yourself, everyone's situation is different. You know, like if someone's coming from an Arabic background, it's going to be far easier for them to learn. If they're younger children pick up the Quran like that. They're like sponges. The older you are, it's going to be, you know, harder for you, subhanAllah. So subhanAllah, sisters, what you've got to keep on asking yourself, like when you see that happening, like when you go through those frustrations. One of the things that helped me to overcome that, you know, that frustration was saying to myself, that, you know, subhanAllah, this is, you know, maybe this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of helping me, inshallah, increase my daraja, inshallah, in the akhirah. You know, because obviously it's going to take far more practice and reading and going over and over and over again in order to be able to perfect your reading. Compared to someone who's brought up already knowing how to recite the Quran from birth, or someone who's Arabic, you know. And how many people have I seen in my time that they memorize the Quran as children, but they don't revise it, subhanAllah. So, you know what I mean? So you don't know what gift Allah's giving you. Like, the higher it is for you, then inshallah, we ask Allah that the ajr is greater, the reward is greater, bi-idhnillah. So basically what I'm trying to say to you, sisters, that achieving any goal in life, it does require a lot of patience. And it does require a lot of perseverance. And that's why they're called life goals, because usually they do take a good part of your life in order for you to, you know, to achieve them. Okay, we come to the third point, which is that you need to be prepared to struggle in order to achieve your goal. Look, many of the sisters I teach, many of the students I teach, you know, I see them, subhanAllah, how frustrated they feel. They're trying to perfect their huruf, like they're trying to perfect their mukharij. And it takes a long time to perfect your mukharij. What I mean by mukharij is like the correct pronunciation of the letters. It takes years. People don't realize that. You know, you compare to others and it makes it look so easy. And you don't realize it actually takes years to perfect your recitation. So it's like I said, you know, the most important, probably the best advice I can give here is you've got to keep on looking how far you've come. Don't compare to others. Just keep on looking. Over the years, it builds up. The more you're going with it, the more you're going to Quran class, pushing forward, you've got to keep looking back from time to time and realizing you have progressed. How many sisters have I come across? You know, they've been at it for years and years and years. But you know what? They're a lot better off than other sisters who haven't even started out on the journey. So that's what you've got to look at. You know, always look at how far you've come, inshallah. Look, being an Australian revert, when I first started out, I didn't know, obviously, any Arabic. So what I did, how did I start off on my journey? I actually used to write out the Quran, like, I used to write it out in the transliteration. I'm not saying that that's necessarily the best way to go about it, but that's what I did. I wrote out the transliteration with the English underneath because I couldn't read the Arabic script at that time and I wanted to memorize. Luckily, I did have, you know, alhamdulillah, fadlillah, like from the grace of Allah, I did have an Arabic-speaking husband at that time who could also help me to perfect, you know, my recitations. I wasn't just blindly going on, you know, reading the transliteration. So you'd need to have someone, if you're going to do that, you'd have to have an eloquent Arabic speaker who can, you know, back you up with your recitation. But, you know, let me just tell you how it started out for me. I mean, when I started out, to memorize Surah Al-Kafirun, we don't know how long that is. It took me 3 weeks. I remember it taking me 3 weeks to memorize Surah Al-Kafirun. So in the beginning, I was very, very slow. It took a long time to memorize any surahs of the Quran. And subhanAllah, I actually memorized the last 4 or 5 ajzaa from the transliteration, because it took me a long time to move on into the Arabic script. And it really wasn't until I went to study in Saudi Arabia, alhamdulillah, in the Quran school, that I was able to then, you know, move over into, you know, memorizing from the Arabic script when I became more familiar with it. But that took a lot of time. Like, I was at Quran school 4 days a week. You know, we had to read 7 pages a day. We had to memorize 1.5 pages a day from the Mus'haf. So you can imagine, with that amount of reading, obviously it does really push you forward. But I'm just trying to give you an indication of just how much it takes to go from zero to where you're trying to go. Okay, we come to the next point, which is hold on to your goal despite all odds. You're going to have to learn to do that. Hold on to your goal despite all odds. The first point in this, you know, subcategory what I want to speak about is, you know, never listen to criticism. This is probably the best advice I can give you. Never listen to criticism and negative comments. If I had have done that, I would have given up a long time ago. In my journey, there were so many times where people would say things to me that could have really put me off. Like, you'd be surprised how people are not very encouraging. I remember, you know, when I was a new revert, I was really ambitious, telling this Arabic-speaking sister, you know, I want to memorize the Quran by the time I'm 30, which is like in about 10 years' time. And she just laughed, probably because she knew how it's not that easy, but I was really ambitious, and the fact that she laughed, you know what I mean, it could have put me off. Other situations where I went to Arabic halaqat and sat with Arabic-speaking sisters, because back then, sisters, there were no Quran lessons in English. So if you want to go to a Quran lesson, you had to look for the Arabic-speaking sisters, and then they would teach you, and they didn't have much English they could, you know, teach you. So I sat with the Arabic sisters. Now, obviously, with Arabic-speaking sisters, they can read fast, but their huruf, they've got a lot of mistakes with their huruf and makharij. But I was trying to read accurately, but I was very slow. So I remember the teacher saying to me, you know, she basically said, come back when you can read. Like, there was no patience, you know what I'm trying to say? So I went through a lot of these things, you know, even when I went to Saudi Arabia, when they first put me into the Quran class, there was no English classes in those days. It's only Arabic speaking classes. So I was with all the Saudi speaking sisters. And, you know, when they first looked at me, they thought, how is she going to be able to do this? Like, they actually put me, you know, eventually I got put into a class memorizing Surah Baqarah. And I thought, I started off memorizing in that class from the transliteration, Surah Baqarah. And I started off in that class 7 pages behind everybody else. But you know what happens? SubhanAllah, from the grace of Allah, alhamdulillah, Allah helped me in that year to finish Surah Baqarah. And I ended up, alhamdulillah, coming third in my class. That's out of all the Saudi sisters as well. That is from Allah. You know, but it just shows you that if you've really got that determination, Allah will help you. Allah will be behind you. Allah will support you. SubhanAllah. And this is another point as well. You've got to ignore the inner criticism. There's been many times where I've said, I can't do it. You know, I don't think I can do this. Look at these Arabic-speaking sisters. They just go ahead, and even now I'm trying to perfect my memorization. Alhamdulillah, I finished memorizing the Quran, but I'm trying to perfect it. I look at, you know, alhamdulillah, my son has memorized the Quran. He's an Arabic speaker. His father's Arabic speaking, you know? So I look at him and how perfect he is with his memorization, and it seems like it just takes me so long to get it so perfect, you know? My kids always come in and they correct my mistakes. I get frustrated, you know what I mean? But I just know I've got to keep on going. You know, Allah tells us, وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you have made that decision to do something, to set out something for the sake of Allah, set out on your path and then have tawakkul on Allah. Put your trust in Allah. Allah will support you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. He will be behind you and He'll help you, inshallah. also, sister Subhanallah, whenever I feel overwhelmed, I just think about our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Think about where he started out. In Mecca, just a couple of believers, the whole world is filled with the darkness of disbelief. He's got the whole burden on his shoulders of giving the da'wah to mankind. And Allah's telling him, you're going to be victorious and your religion, you know, the deen of Islam is going to, you know, subhanAllah, is going to be manifest in this earth. Imagine how impossible that must have seemed. But yet, sisters, look at today. We go to Masjid Nabawi. I get so emotional when I go there. You can hardly find a place to pray out in the courtyard. You're praying in the street. And how big is Masjid Nabawi? It's as big as a city. And yet, we can't even find a place to pray outside. They've got to make it expanded because of the sheer amount of numbers of those who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when I look at that and I think about that, that is probably one of them, for all of us Muslims, that has to be the most motivating thing to think that this is when Allah is behind you, anything is possible, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. You obviously as well, you have to keep your iman strong. You have to keep your iman strong. How do you think you're going to achieve your goals in life if you're not keeping your iman strong? You have to keep going to lessons, stay with a sister to remind you of Allah in the next life. And you have to be stuck to your prayers. Like Allah tells us, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help with prayer and patience. You need to be close to Allah. How can you achieve your goals if you're not close to Allah? So be close to your prayers, be stuck to your prayers, pray your prayers on time. Have your khushu in your prayers. All of these things, be upon dhikr of Allah, inshallah. All of these things helps you to be steadfast upon your goals. Bi-idhnillah. And obviously as well, if you can find a role model, or if you have friends that encourage you, try to stay with people who encourage you. That's what I try to look for, friends who encourage you, who bring you up, not the ones who pull you down. Look for the positive friends. This makes a very big difference. People who believe in your goals. And that's where I will mention as well, sisters, that it is important. I'm not going to say it's not important if you're able to find a brother for marriage who supports you in your goals. It does really help a woman if she's got her husband supporting her goals. So before getting married, if you're in that situation, if you can write in your marriage contract, you know, what you're hoping to achieve, let the brother know so that you know that he's behind you, inshallah. This is very important, inshallah, for us. Like just as they say that behind every man is a great woman, I can also say that, subhanAllah, in order for us to go ahead in our life goals and to achieve, inshallah, our potential in this life, it is so important for us to have a great man behind us, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Whether that's a father or a husband, not just necessarily a husband, even a father. Fathers, mashallah, they're so important in their role, in empowering their daughters, inshallah, to believe in themselves, to give them the confidence. And I'm going to move on now as well to mention that there's other things that can also derail you from your goals. As women, I feel personally there's a lot more that derails us than the case of a man. Okay, because we have a lot more different responsibilities than a man has in general. I mean, in general, they can get married, they can have their kids, but they can always just pass on the responsibilities mostly to their wife. You know what I mean? And continue in their mission to achieve their goal. But for us, let's be realistic. You know, you've got marriage, you've got children, responsibilities, and obviously once those responsibilities get greater, it's going to make it longer for you in order, you know, to achieve your goal that you're setting out to do. And sometimes because it's taking so long, you can end up losing hope as well. So what I would like to say here is to be flexible about your goals. Like you might have said, I'm hoping to do this by 10 years, but then you get married and have kids. You have to be realistic. What's the big deal if it takes you 15 years? What's the big deal if it takes you 20 years? You know, who cares how long it took you? But the most important thing, inshallah, that you eventually get there sooner or later. That's the most important thing. So be flexible. Don't get frustrated that it's not happening quick enough for you. You know, in my case, you know, subhanAllah, there I was in Saudi, all geared up to memorize the Quran in the Quran school. And I started memorizing. And the next thing I find out, I'm having twins. You know, now, if any of you had children yet, you know how dealing just with one child is hard enough. I know a lot of you wish for twins, but let me tell you, if you have twins, you might have a different opinion. It's really hard. You basically, let me tell you, if you have twins, you've got to be prepared to sit on the couch practically all day, feeding and changing nappies and putting them to sleep. There's no time, there's nothing else you can do, okay? Especially for the first few months. So subhanAllah, what basically happened to me is, once I had the twins, I did keep studying right up until I had the babies, by the way. So they were listening to the Quran in my womb the whole time while I was memorizing and revising, alhamdulillah. But once I had my twins, there was no way I could go back to the Quran school. It just was not. It's colours. You know when that's it. You can't do it anymore. And we ended up moving back to Australia. So there I am. I've got now three children. And I found my priorities changed. My oldest son was already nearly three and he'd already started memorizing Quran at the Quran school. I started dedicating my time to helping. I decided to make my priority to help my children to memorize the Quran. Because basically I did not want my kids to have to try to memorize as adults. I saw how hard it was to memorize as an adult. So I wanted my children to have the Quran from the very beginning. And also I knew that what kind of protection does the Quran do for a child if you put it in their heart and the love of the Quran in their heart, okay? So alhamdulillah, I was able to, you know, help my oldest son. Alhamdulillah, he finished when he was 14 years of age. And then alhamdulillah, min fadlillah, I also helped my twins to memorize as well. They didn't finish till they were about 18. And then during that time, I was revising my own Quran. I was going slowly ahead with my goals. But it wasn't until they basically had, you know, finished their memorization that I was able to go back more seriously to my goal. And you know, about 6 years ago, I said, that's it, I'm gonna start memorizing. So I started saying to myself, all right, what I'll do is I'll memorize one juz every school term. So 4 juzat a year. You know what I mean? You do it for 4 years, and I'd already memorized 15 juzat at that time. I'd already memorized half the Quran, so then I memorized the other half over a 4 year period. It's very feasible, as you can see. And alhamdulillah. So that's how it happened for me. And I'll never regret the way that I, you know, alhamdulillah, the approach that I'd taken. Because, you know, alhamdulillah, if you've got that blessing of having children raised up with the Quran in their heart, hearing them every day, reciting, revising, there's no happiness in this world that, you know, you can replace for that feeling. May Allah open all of your children their hearts to love the Quran, inshallah. So as you can see, there's always going to be obstacles to achieving your goals. And you just have to learn to be flexible. And no matter how many times you fall off the path of your goal, you just keep getting back onto your path. The fifth point that I want to speak about is disciplining yourself. Obviously, you've got to have self-discipline in order to achieve your goals. Nobody wakes up a hafiz. Nobody wakes up a scholar. No one wakes up in the morning and suddenly finds himself a professional in anything. So if you want to achieve something great, you have to be prepared to put in the time to have the sweat and tears that goes with it as well. Let me tell you, sisters, before I started memorizing the Quran, I used to be totally addicted to television. You know, like, I used to love sitting there during the day watching Oprah Winfrey and, you know, all those shows and wasting my time, to be honest. It wasn't easy to make myself disciplined. I'm not a naturally disciplined person, I don't think. But one thing I do know about myself is I'm a type of person, I need deadlines. I procrastinate a lot, but if I have a deadline, just before it comes up, I make sure I get it done. So I learned that for me to operate and to get something done out of myself, I have to always create deadlines for myself. How did I create deadlines for myself? For example, I used to sit with some of the Arabic sisters who are on a similar level to me in memorizing. I used to go to their house, we have an appointment. We have to have memorized a certain amount of the Quran, and we have to read to each other. And I would feel embarrassed and shy that she's prepared her section and I haven't prepared mine. That's a way of making yourself disciplined. And, you know, having that deadline, it really does help. You have to make the Quran a priority in your life. Really, every day it has to be part of your life. For me, it's like if I don't incorporate Quran every day, day in my life, I feel like I lost something that day. I feel like something is really missing in my day. So you have to decide, what time of the day am I going to dedicate to the Quran? Is it going to be after Fajr? Is it going to be in the early duha time, you know, 10 o'clock this time? Is it going to be before you go to sleep? When is your best time for your schedule? Look at that, decide. I know one sister, she memorized the Quran at tahajjud time. That was the only time she could find to memorize the Quran. So you have to look at your own schedule, but the most important thing is to find that time and to stick to it. And if you miss that time in your day, like what I do is, if I miss it in the morning because I'm giving a class, I'll try to do it later on in the day. You know what I mean? But at least, even if I have bad days, some days I have days where, that's it, I just couldn't do anything. There's responsibilities. So what do? I just make sure I start on the next day. You just start back on your track the next day or the next week. You keep on going. That's the most important thing. So we need to change our whole mentality as well when it comes to achieving your goals. You have to start to learn to look at what is wasting your time. Like, social media is a very big distraction for most of us. What I advise, I can't say you don't go on social media at all. We all feel like we need to go on there. You know, it gives us some sort of, we get an adrenaline rush a little bit from social media. It does help. But let's say, like, what I would advise people is make it as a treat. Say to yourself, I'm going to sit for 40 minutes memorizing the Quran, for example, or whatever your goal is. And then I'm going to treat myself to, say, 10 minutes of social media. You know what I mean? Something like that. So you make it as a treat for yourself. So you work towards, you know, you're working hard and then you give yourself that treat. I think this is probably the best way to help yourself, to motivate yourself, inshallah. Not to completely say, that's it, I'm cutting off every social media. I think after a while you're going to get bored and, you know. But, you know, if you think about famous athletes, sisters, this is one thing that's always also been something that amazed me as well. Think about famous athletes. Think about famous sports people. Even people who are not famous. I went to school with a girl called Jenny. And she was always hoping to be a famous gymnast. So she used to have to wake up really early, like 6 o'clock in the morning, and go to do her training every single day before school. How much dedication did she have? And yet, there was no guarantee she would ever represent Australia or represent any, you know, international competition. But she was ready to sacrifice that for something for the dunya. So imagine if you're doing something for the akhirah, how much more should we be prepared to sacrifice and give up certain things that we like to do? I'll come to another point that helped me to keep motivated. This is the sixth point, how to keep yourself motivated. And that is, we need to keep our eyes firmly on the akhirah. This is probably one of the best advices I can give anyone, to how to keep yourself motivated. Your eyes have to be constantly focused on the akhirah. If you truly believe in your heart that this life is a test, and this life is just one life, you only get one chance. You can't come back and do this life again. Any other test in this life, if you fail, you can always come back the next year and repeat it. Like if you do the HSC and you don't do well, you can easily just do it again the next year. But if you die, you cannot come back and repeat this life. So if you think about that it's strongly enough, sisters, that has to be one of the greatest motivations that pushes you forward. That whatever you're doing in your life, that's what you're going to face Allah with that. So think about, how do you want to meet with Allah? How do you not want to meet with Allah? This is what you should be asking yourself from now, and start working towards it now. Because if you don't start working on it now, you're going to be meeting Allah on the way you are right now. That's basically what it is. So at least be on that path. Because we know that, as from the mercy of Allah, Allah's, you know, in the hadith, for example, the Prophet ﷺ has shown us that whoever died, even if they didn't fulfill what they were, you know, aiming to do, but if they had the sincere intention, they were making all and taking all the means to achieve their goal, Allah will write it for them exactly as if they had ever achieved it. So at least die in the path of trying to achieve your goal. And okay, we come to another point here, which helps to motivate you, which is that when you're doing what you love, and when you're doing something sincerely for the sake of Allah, Allah puts sweetness and happiness in your heart. And that sweetness and happiness is something that continually motivates you. Allah says in the Quran, if Allah knows that you have good in your heart, if you have sincerity in your heart, Allah will give you the khair. He will give you khair in ways you never imagined. He will give you goodness in ways you never imagined. He will open it for you, and He, subhanAllah, will help you. So I will never regret, like even if I didn't achieve, even if I never get perfect in my memorization, even if I die and I meet Allah still having mistakes, you know what, sisters? I'm never going to regret the moments that I spent learning, reciting, listening, memorizing the Quran, because there's a pure joy that comes from your heart in memorizing the Quran. When you recite the Quran from heart, it is not comparable to reciting from the Mushaf. It is not comparable. And not only that, when you can recite from Tajweed, it is not comparable than just reciting the Quran without Tajweed. So I will never regret that sweetness. Alhamdulillah. And I want to say something here too, subhanAllah, sisters, which is really amazing, is that before Islam, sisters, I was totally addicted to music. Totally addicted to music. I used to memorize all the songs, sisters. I even decided at one stage I want to become a singer. But alhamdulillah, when Allah opened my heart to al-Islam, He made my heart love the Quran, love listening to the Quran, reciting the Quran. And I found a sweetness in the Quran that I could never find through listening to the music and singing the music, subhanAllah. Like, let me tell you now, if I listen to music, I actually get physically nervous. I cannot stand listening to music. And even as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, he says that, you know, there's two things that can never gather in the heart of an abd, of a slave. And that is the words of Allah and the salt of shaitan, the voice of the shaitan. The voice of the shaitan is the music. These two things can never gather in your heart. If you're wondering, why don't I have true love for the Quran? I want you to also ask yourself honestly, are you from those who listen to music? Because listening to music reduces a person's love for the Quran. Okay, another thing that helps you to stay motivated is to work towards small goals. Like if I was going to say to myself, okay, I want to memorize the Quran, that's a huge goal. And you can get very demotivated because it takes such a long time and it's going to take ages, you know? But if you can help yourself to work towards small goals, this is what helps you to get there. So, and it makes you feel a sense of achievement as you go. So for example, what I recommend in memorizing the Quran, start off with the small surahs. Start off from the back of the Quran. Start off with Juz Amma, the small surahs. Work towards, make your first goal memorizing Juz Amma. When you memorize Juz Amma, you go to Juz Tabarak. Okay, so this is how you feel a sense of achievement, that you've now memorized a whole part of the Quran. Now you memorize two parts of the Quran. And slowly, slowly, it starts adding up over time, bit by bit, day by day. As long as you keep going at it, you will, inshallah, reach your goal. Okay, the last of the things that obviously has helped me to stay motivated in achieving my goal is, you have to be constantly asking Allah Azza wa Jal, especially in your sujood, especially in when you're prostrating to Allah, which is the closest place to Allah in this dunya. You know, asking Allah from your heart sincerely, Ya Allah, help me to achieve my goal. Because that ultimately, sisters, there is no success in this life or the akhirah without the help of Allah. Allah says, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no success except by the help of Allah. We cannot rely on our own individual effort. We need the help of Allah. And the other thing, dear sisters, is that when you're constantly making dua, what it does is that, subhanAllah, it helps you to keep your eyes firmly focused on your goal. You're reminding yourself every day that this is the goal I'm working towards. So it helps you to refresh your motivation. It helps you stay focused. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides their heart. Allah will guide your heart. He'll keep you motivated. He'll push you forward in your goals. Okay, come to my final point, which is you have to make that decision to never give up. It's just what you have to do. You have to say to yourself, no matter how long this takes, no matter how many obstacles come my way, I'm never going to give up. And I'm going to die, even if I have to die in the state of trying to achieve this goal, but that's what a decision I've made. So no matter how many times you fall, no matter how many times you fail, you just got to keep on getting up and trying again and moving even slowly, even baby steps towards your goal. That's basically what it comes down to. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا. That those who strive in our paths, that we guide them. Those who strive for our sake, they strive in the path of Allah, Allah guides them to our, like He says, I guide them to our paths. I guide them. I open the way. He gets you through the obstacles. He finds ways for you. An obstacle comes up, but you find a way around it. You find a way to get through your trials and your, you know, like the difficulties that you're facing in trying to achieve your goal. So whatever happens, dear sisters, the other thing too is never fear what you're doing is a waste of time. Ever think, as long as you're in the path doing something for the sake of Allah, never feel that what you're doing is a waste of time. Because remember that Allah is Ar-Rahim, He is Al-Latif, He is Al-Kareem, He is the most generous, He is the most merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He says, Inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajrul muhsinin. Allah does not cause the reward of the muhsinin to be lost. Never. Ever. Nothing you do is wasted as long as you're in that path for Allah. So dear sisters, make an uncompromising decision, an uncompromising intention to meet Allah having achieved your goal, or die in a state of having, you know, having been striving to achieve it. SubhanAllah, strive until you reach your goal, or die in the state of striving. Die in a state of reaching your goal, or die in a state of striving towards your goal. This is the only option, two options only, that you give yourself. And remember that nothing is wasted with Allah, as I said. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal, I ask Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, ask Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala to lighten our hearts with the Quran. I ask Him to lighten our lives with the Quran. I ask Him to fill our hearts with the love for the Quran, and to fill our children's hearts with the love of the Quran. I ask Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fill our houses with the light of the Quran and the recitation of the Quran, and may He make our graves lit up with the recitation from the recitation of the Quran. I ask Him to make us firm in remembering Him always and reciting the Quran. Remembering Him in the mornings when we wake up, remembering Him before we go to sleep. I ask Him to make the Quran firm in our hearts. Ya Allah, teach us the Quran. Make the Quran easy for us to memorize. Make the Quran easy for us to learn and to perfect our tajweed for your sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be those who implement the Quran in our lives. And that the Quran will be a witness for us in the Qiyamah and not a witness against us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gathers us all together, just as He gathered us here today, in Majlis al-Firdaws al-A'la. And I want to finish, inshallah, by reciting some of the beautiful verses from the Quran to revive our love for the Quran, my dearest sisters. In Surah Hash. A'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.